Welcome back to The Caravan from Red River Radio. I'm Bill Beckett. Maggie Kerner, a Shreveport native, has a CD release party and house concert at Fairfield Studios this Sunday night at 7 p.m. here in Shreveport. So we invited Maggie to stop by our Marion and Donald Weiss Performance Studios, along with her friend and musical compatriot, Nick Brumley, to sit down and chat with us a bit about their respective musical projects and to lay down some songs for us. We'll join them in the studio in just a moment. But first, let's hear this cut from Maggie's latest CD called Neutral Ground and a track titled Trees in a Line right here on The Caravan.
If I could rip you out of my mouth, I'd spit you flat on but I continue to break my own damn heart, 'cause this feeling is better than nothing. But if I could choose to do it all again, I would gladly lay down in the palm of your hand. Oh no, oh no. I lost myself for you along the way, with the trees in a line playing tricks on my mind. Oh no, oh no. So I sing you the grand gesture through the postman today, as you clear your throat for taking. And I wrote your name in the thick dewy fall, what it was like to touch you one more time. But if I could choose to do it all again, I would gladly lay down in the palm of your hand. Oh no, oh no.
Music by Maggie Kerner here on The Caravan, and a track titled Trees in a Line that we found on her new CD, Neutral Ground. And Maggie is here with us tonight in the Marion and Donald Weiss Performance Studios, along with her friend and musical compatriot, Nick Bromley. They're here to talk a bit with us about their latest projects and their future endeavors. Maggie and Nick, I want to thank you for stopping by the studios for the show tonight. So
Thanks for having us.
So, Maggie, you got a brand new CD out.
And, I sure do.
It's called Neutral Ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, that seems like a cryptic title. Could you tell me a little bit about where that title comes from for a CD?
There's so many things. There's so many meanings behind that. I mean, I don't know where to start. I fell in love with New Orleans for the first time when I was a little girl. I was on the neutral ground on Esplanade. So that was my first, oh my gosh, this city's so amazing. I want to live here. It's magical. I was 8 years old. And then when I moved to New Orleans a year and a half ago, I was really fascinated. I was why do they call it neutral ground instead of a median? And then found that out. And then I was on a road trip this past summer. And I don't know, it just came to me. Man, you take me down to the neutral ground. You take me down to that. It's kind of like a metaphor. Being in a relationship, it should be a neutral ground. Not one person should have power over the other. Not one person should love one more than the other.
Right.
So I don't know. Neutral ground just seemed. It also seemed like I found my neutral ground whenever I moved down there. I finally got to spread my wings a little bit and be authentically me. I don't know.
Is that because you're out of the home stomping ground? And
I think it's hard to be different in Shreveport.
Well, it's hard to be different in your
home. In any smoke. Yeah, when you're born and raised, and I think it's harder to be different.
Right. Yeah. It's also harder sometimes as somebody who left his small little town in the Midwest, mm-hmm. Harder to go back to.
What I've found so amazing is that I've only been gone for a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
And people seem to think that I achieved more success than or maybe in their eyes I have achieved a lot of success. But for me, I feel like I'm still, I just left yesterday,
yeah.
You know? And so that is nice to come back and people are so proud of me and they're like, wow, you're actually achieving your dreams.
Yeah.
And it does put things in perspective for me and really helps me appreciate the small success that I have had in the past year and a half.
Well, and maybe even the move itself, because a lot of people have those aspirations but never take that next
Absolutely.
Step and actually do the move. The dreams kind of stay on a shelf,
Yeah.
One day I'm going to.
That was my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
But then, that first move is really hard. But now I'm I'm ready to go to London for a while. I'm ready to go live in France. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now I have I'm in total gypsy mode.
Okay. So out of this move, I know you brought a new CD out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about a little bit about what in the move transition, this transition in your life has inspired within the CD, the music, and then maybe play us a couple of songs from that CD?
Being in New Orleans, like I said, I was able to be a more authentic self without feeling the need to simmer that down any. I met a lot of really good people. I formed a lot of really amazing friendships. But most of all, I just started working with more career-driven people. And so, I knew that I needed to write better songs and I needed to sing better and I needed to find my sound. That's why I was very sure of myself when I went in to produce it, because I knew I know these songs better than anybody. I knew what everything, so everything was mapped out in my brain. So OCD-like. And I knew that going into the studio, the reason that album came about is because I was finally in this magical city that I wanted to live in my whole life. And you either love or hate New Orleans, but for me, it felt so nostalgic, I'd lived a past life there or something, and I belonged there for this period of time, and that kind of sense of everything's new and exciting, but also very familiar, really allowed me to tap into different parts of writing And life experiences, of course, always help you write. So, and I've definitely had a few more of those since I've been living down there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just being in a new environment.
So from that album, you've got a lot of songs on there. What kind of do you want to play for us?
Sirens. I think I'm going to play Sirens.
I know you felt it, 'cause I felt it too. It's like remembering a memory that never happened to you. And I say, I needed something more from the men I haven't even cooked breakfast for. Oh, 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 oh. When you paint with a broad brush, you're gonna wind up outside the lines. So just remember how this started. You're trying to make up your mind. I don't care what they say. Blame it on Mr. Hathaway. I know you felt it.
Maggie Kerner live in our studios tonight here on Red River Radio in the Caravan with a tune called Sirens. So where does the gist of that song come from? Is that
I was like crushing on a boy in New Orleans. It's like, yeah. I'd really tried to not write too many like obvious love boy angst,
right, yeah,
songs on this album, but I loved this song. I actually wrote this when I was still playing with Nick and Eric Gardner and Jeremy Hayes. The Slow Burn is what they went by.
Okay.
I was living in New Orleans. I don't know. I just was dating. I was kind of seeing this guy, and I really, really liked him. And he was about to move. Been there. You know, people talk about the red flags in relationships and sirens. And I don't know. It was during Mardi Gras, and there was the Muses Parade and siren. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
yeah.
I was his siren, and he was my red flag siren, you know.
Okay.
This double meaning.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in music. So,
yeah.
So in the studio with you right now is Nick Brumley. And Nick is, you've been working with the Manchin family.
Yes.
You guys are in the studio right now.
Yeah, if we can get everybody in the same room at one time.
Good luck.
So we got it's scheduling is hard to do, but we're definitely en route.
So you guys moved out of the house?
Yeah.
Where are you living at now?
Well, I got a very, very awesome girlfriend, and she's let me stay with her. And then a good friend of ours back in Marshall, Rudy Zachary, he lives out he has a lake house, and he's like, any if you ever need a place to crash, you can come out there, and that's very tempting. When I called, I think last time I was here, I was talking to you about Brian Martin,
right,
and we keep in contact a lot, and when I called him, told him we were moving out, and I was kind of upset, you know, because I hate change. I don't do well with it. And he was like so happy for me.
Yeah,
he's like, good. He's like, get out of there. He's like, cause you never got anything done, which wasn't all true. Like, we definitely got a lot of stories and we wrote a lot, but definitely the fun took
the
over.
The end of an era.
End of an era.
Well, it's a phase, but things move, things change.
That's true. But like us as a whole, as a group, we're a band. We have changed.
Yeah.
Like we still that's not going to change. We're still going to play. You know, we still have plans. So that's good.
So are you writing? Do you have anything new that you want to like lay on the audience tonight?
I do want to play. When they were talking about New Orleans, when I was playing with Maggie, I wrote this song while I was there. And I was actually going through a real crappy breakup. So being on that road the amount of time we were was actually really nice. And this is like, has one of the best lines I think I've ever written.
Nice.
And like, I don't say that.
You've never said that.
But see, I got so excited about it and I called Brian. I sent him a text. I was like, check this line out. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I love it. It may be a real crappy line. I don't know. I was just a proud parent at the moment. So I texted it to Brian, and he was like, oh, that's really good. Then he texted me a line that he had just wrote, and it was like 20 times better.
Yeah. I was like, that'll tear you up.
You're such a punk, man. But this song's called Cinderella. Secrets as they're leaking through my living room floor. And no matter how hard I try, you keep on bringing more. So I'm letting go of reason and hope. Finds me one day soon. Just give me one good reason, cause baby, I got nothing to lose. A mystery and whiskey will always be the death of me. I'm trying to tend a garden as you're stuck inside a TV screen. Well, I tried to keep it simple, but you couldn't wrap your thumb around that. So I've untied my middle finger to help you guide your way through the map. Well, now I'm walking on eggshells as you walk through my bedroom door. Saying that you want me, but your eyes were screaming so much more. But then you left your broken slipper as the clock struck a quarter past four. Well, excuse me, Cinderella, on your way out, please don't slam the door. Well, excuse me, Cinderella, on your way out, please don't slam the door.
So as a proud parent, can you tell us the line?
I tried to keep it simple, but you couldn't wrap your thumb around that, so I've untied my middle finger to help you guide your way through the map.
Okay. That's kind of what nice. I thought. But I, yeah. So.
Yeah.
And what was your middle finger tied to? Never mind. Nick
Brumley. We could go on for a long time about that one. Right
oh,
there.
Yeah. Well, the backstories for the songs, that's where the real interesting stuff yeah. lies.
So. You got to be careful what you say.
Yes, you do. It can come back to haunt you.
So. Oh, it has, like, twice over.
So other than the relationship angle, from your new album, can you talk about some of the songs that have been inspired by New Orleans?
Yeah, the main one on the album that is about my transition from Shreveport to New Orleans is called The Prophecy.
Yeah.
It's basically describing New Orleans and what she did for me and what she did to me.
Okay.
Because I've struggled with drinking too much in the past, and as many of my friend, musician friends have.
Oh, heavens, I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that
world.
Either. Yeah. and when I moved down there, for a while there, I thought I had a grasp on things, but I didn't. So I wrote that song about just what it does to you. Because, I mean, New Orleans, as beautiful and magical as it is, it can right. eat you up, and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many people who are so talented and have so much potential in a future ahead of them, get completely just sucked in with addiction.
Right.
And now they're heroin addicts and living on the street.
Yeah.
And nobody cares. Nobody's talking about you. Nobody cares about your business.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. But it's also, nobody's keeping you in line,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
But I surrounded myself with really good people, and I have a good relationship with my parents back home in Shreveport. So
yeah.
I figured out, you know, okay, you need to calm down. You had your fun. Now time to get serious again. But yeah, The Prophecy. I kind of had this self-fulfilling prophecy before I moved down there. I went to the Maple Leaf Bar once, and I sat in there by myself and had a couple of beers and wrote a song, and then all of it came true. And like, it was like, I forgot that I'd even written that song, and then it came back, and I was like, whoa, okay. Well, this was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Good job, Max.
There you go. Yeah. You feel like playing that?
Sure, I would love to.
End up outside like two diamonds in the rough, with our cigarettes in our hands, playing songs with pots and pans. Then you began to tell the difference after you burn your past behind, between the sleepers and the ones who can't sniff out their own kind. Then your legs start to feel like a severed lizard's tail, and your hands won't stop the shakes. No hair of the dog can be your grace. Oh, you never had a chance. She'll just drag your ass down here, kidnapping you in conversation, breaking down and building up your years. Oh, these sins of mine, I leave in a ring around my bathtub since I left you. Oh my God.
eventually became a self-fulfilling prophecy. A self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Maggie Kerner live in our studios here on the Caravan tonight with Prophecy. And that is featured on your new CD. This is a CD that you actually produced yourself, which is a challenge, I think, for any artist to go into the studio. I mean, one of the things that I notice is that your ear for what others have produced in this new CD does have a lot of those elements. We had talked about Cayute Woman. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of elements of what both Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois mm-hmm. like to use in their music, which, you know, Eno talks about literally chiseling away a song, getting rid of mm-hmm. everything that is peripheral and not necessary to the core of the song. So from Cayute Woman, you have a very kind of ethereal, atmospheric thing going on. Did you hear that when you were writing the mm-hmm. song?
Well, Cayute Woman is a special song because we were going into the studio and I had the guys that I was playing with come over to Chris Lippincott's house and practice, rehearse all day yeah. for like 10 hours yeah. before we went in to the studio, because the guys already knew the song, but I wanted to make sure we're not wasting any time.
Right.
So the guys leave and it's just me and Chris, and I go, "Hey man, I know this is kind of crazy, but I was writing this song last night." And he's like, "Maggie, really?" And I was like, "Yeah, just let me play it for you. I think I want to put it on the album." And I had been dating around and I was kind of torn between two men. I really felt like it was necessary, because at that point I kind of figured out like what I was going to do and it was kind of like the closing chapter of Neutral Ground. And so I played it for him and he's like, "All right, that's really pretty." And I was like, "Okay, but you do that one thing when you're warming up on your pedal steel. And I think it would be cool as like a B section to that one song, like my part, and then you and Dave come in and I just wail." He was like, "Okay, should we call Dave or should we show Dave?" And I was like, "No, let's not show Dave. Let's just go into the studio." And like, we practiced it once. Yeah. So we went in the studio and I knew that Chris and I both had decided that we were going to wait to record that song last, like one of the days. It was going to be a whiskey, maybe a little too many cigarettes, like I have a raspy tone in my voice, late night session. Mm-hmm. You know, it was going to be one of those songs that we saved. And because it's a really special song especially to me, but I think to the guys too, because what ended up happening was magical. We did two takes. The first take was perfect, but I said, "Your eyes are filled with 20,000-year-old diamonds." I said diamonds instead of magic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "We can't say that. That's so cheesy. It's not supposed to say that," because literally a guy had written that on a napkin for me. Yeah. So we had to do it on second time, but it was perfect because the first time we recorded it was Dave Shirley, the drummer, his first time ever playing on it. And so by the second time he perfected it, because he's just these guys that I've been playing with in New Orleans, they're like, they went to school for it. They went to Loyola.
Right.
And they're so technical, but they can also feel it.
Yeah.
So we just really, we created this really beautiful thing. And I told all the other guys, and we're just Chris and David and I. Because David, I made Chris buy a baritone Gretsch because I wanted to get a baritone guitar because I'd heard about him, the way I play. I just finger pluck. I play open tunings as well. So I was thinking about getting a baritone, and Chris ended up buying the one that I wanted. And I was like, let's record Cayute with that. And all we needed was that. They're just simple. It's kind of like my Ode to Cap Power kind of sound. Like, I wanted to make an album that was really stripped down. But I also didn't want to go from Quarter Life to this really bare, stripped-down album. Right, yeah. I felt like there needed to be a transition album in between. And that's exactly what I got with Neutral Ground, because if you listen to it in the sequence, it's really like Sirens and Neutral Ground and Mama are like slipping away from Quarter Life. And then you get Neutral Ground and Cayute Woman and Trees in a Line, which are like total B-side songs. Right. And, like, I remember, like, even my friend Melissa Cardona, she came down and she filmed, like, and I remember, like, we'd done the first take of Cayute, but I said Diamonds instead of Magic, and I was all mad, and I was like, crap. So I went and got a drink from the kitchen, and I looked at her, and I was like, you're going to want to record this. And I, like, said it real gruff, and she was, like, eating in mid-bite. And she, like, grabbed her camera real quick, and we didn't wait for her. Like, we shut the door, and I was like, go. And she, like, was there with the camera, and, like, we created this magical moment. And to have that not only recorded, to get to put it on a CD, but also have like a video of it, which is on my website. Like, I was like, wow, I'm really glad that we got that.
Can you tell the folks what your website is?
MaggieKerner.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So MaggieKerner.
Well, if it's any consolation, Cayute Woman was one of the first tunes I played off the album on the Caravan.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that one's very
cool. Well, good. You'll like my future album then.
All right. Oh, you're working on a new one then, huh?
I'm already writing for the next one. And
that's good.
My dad's probably like, oh, God. But no, I mean, like, you're always... I mean, for me, that's how it happens. Right. The moment I finish one chapter, I'm like, on to the next.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what. Why don't we go ahead and listen to Cayute Woman? This is taken from Maggie's CD, Neutral Ground.
Your eyes are full 20,000 year old magic.
Maggie Kerner, and a track taken from her CD Neutral Ground. That tune was called Cayute Woman, and you heard it here on The Caravan. Well, Nick, you know, you've got the one live album out. Do you have any solo projects that you're getting ready to work on, or any material that you'd like to, like, lay on us?
Yeah, I'll play a song that Maggie was mentioning. It's very typical that musicians drink their life away or suffer with addictions and stuff, and I had a real bad couple of weeks, and then a really extremely bad weekend, and I think that Saturday was a Mardi Gras party, and the guy's house we played at, instead of a cooler full of beer, he got us 24 individual half pints of Wild Turkey 101, and they were gone by 7 o'clock.
Oh, Lord.
And so, like, oh, it was fun at the time. And we ended up going to Bears afterward, and they kept trying to put me in the apartment next door to go to sleep, but somehow I kept sneaking out. And then I woke up the next day, and I've never felt worse in my entire life. And I've had hangovers, and just, you know, you just get over it. But this one was just like, I couldn't move, and I accepted the fact that I was going to die here on this couch. I was like, I'm going to die. And I called my mom and just telling her. My mom, she's my angel, and I tell her everything, and we're really close. And she's always getting on to me about drinking and stuff. And this time she was just like, when's enough? Like, when are you going to learn? You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but, you know, when are you going to learn? And so I went a good 2 weeks sober. And I wrote this song during that period, and it was a sober me writing a letter to a drunk me, and mom hasn't heard it yet.
Mm-hmm. Will you talk about the weather in its stronghold? You talk about the storm and how it won't go. But put all of that aside, you can change it all tonight, my friend. Will you talk about the loved ones that let go? In the end, you were the one that no-showed. But put all of that aside, you can change it all tonight. The nights you pushed your luck, you tried to fill that bottomless cup until the floor couldn't hold you up. When's enough? When's enough? Hoping that her son isn't long gone, but you don't answer it with pride, but she'll pray for you tonight, my friend. Then you carry with you miles and miles of thick stone. You take it with you to pass it on down that road. Why carry such a load? Here's a hammer, break that stone, my friend. Oh, the nights you pushed your luck, you tried to fill that bottomless cup. From the floor you couldn't make it up. Well, when's enough? Call it quits. When it does, I'll make sure that your mother gets this. Here is the letter from your one son, the one son that never meant to run. Dry your eyes tonight, for he's resting with his dad tonight. Oh, tonight he pushed his luck, he finally filled that bottomless cup, and from the floor he couldn't make it up. He had enough.
And you stayed sober for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. See, okay, it lasted. I would have went longer, but we went to the Houston barbecue cook-off, like the livestock show they have, like the end of February. And that's all you do is eat barbecue and drink beer, so I couldn't go down there in 3 days and not.
Man, that song makes me sad, Nick.
Makes you sad?
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't be doing my job if it didn't make people sad, I guess.
Well, as you had talked about, that Neutral Ground kind of starts out closer to where first
Quarter
album
Life
was.
Left
yeah.
Off, yeah.
And as you progress through it, you kind of strip away the accoutrements of the mm-hmm. band mm-hmm. And all of the extra bells and whistles mm-hmm. slowly but surely. Where do you see, when you get into your next project, which you're already writing for, do you see that as a, like a solo thing, an acoustic guitar and you?
Yeah, or? I'd like to, because a lot of people really dig. I think I'm the worst guitar player in the world. I do that weird thing where I put it on my lap and I pluck. But a lot of people seem to really dig it. They like the weird sound that it produces. And yeah, so I think I'm going to do just maybe like a really stripped down recordings at my house, not going to a studio, just like I have really good acoustics in my new house, really tall ceilings, and just like record it for free and put it up on my website for free, download them for free, you know. And then maybe hopefully something will happen where I'll get picked up by somebody. Or my dream one day would be to work with like Nigel Godrick. He produced a lot of Radiohead stuff, and I would love to, you know, maybe in the next project or two, like have somebody just come in and completely just go a different universe with it that I could think.
So you mean bringing in a producer?
Yeah. That, like if you listen to a lot of Radiohead stuff, like, I mean, it's so, so smart what they do, and the sounds and the layers and the mixing, and it's just, it's incredible. And the strings, just, oh, everything is just so incredible. And Nigel Godrick is, he's young too. He's a young genius.
Yeah.
He's a dream. Daniel Lemoyne, too, of course. I mean, everybody wants to work with him. But.
You got something that is, like, not produced on album yet that you'd like to play for us? Or something at the end of Neutral Ground that you'd like to lay out for us?
Yeah, I will. I would like to do I Love You, I Do, though. I never play this song live. I never have before until last night. I played it in Marshall, and I want to play it right now.
All right.
It's, we were in Puerto Rico, and I just started writing this song, and it's the first love song I've ever written. And I had to put it on the album, and we just did a really simple recording because I think it's a cute song. I think it's nice.
Take it away.
If I was born on a ledge, I'd have jumped by now. Only to fall to my death as I hit the ground. Cause I never know, no, I never could understand. Thank you. give you my bones, I'll give you my bed, I'll give you my love, my soul, my home, my truth. I'll give you my heart, I'll give you my head, I'll give you my bones, I'll give you my bed, I'll give you my love, my soul, my home, my truth. And I say, I love you, I do.
Maggie Kerner live in our studios tonight on The Caravan. Now, your new CD, it's out now, so folks who are desperate to get a copy, they can go up to Southfield Grill. I know the Southfield Grill, because that's where I got mine, so yeah. I know they're there.
Or the Clark gas station on Southfield and Uri.
But you've got a release party coming up.
I do. I have a CD. My official Shreveport CD release show is going to be on July 14th. It's a Sunday, July 14th at Fairfield Studios. They do a really cool house concert series where you go in there and I'll be with my full band. And
oh, okay. So you're doing the house concert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh,
and cool. Yeah, people come and they pay to sit there and watch us as we play for them, but we're also recording.
I kind of wanted to see if you guys, first time we had you in the studio was during the fun drive and you guys played some stuff from Quarter Life. Maybe you would... feel like closing out this session?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do a song called Judgment Day.
All right. Take it away. Believe them.
find out on Judgment Day.
Maggie Kerner and Nick Brumley live in our studio tonight. I want to thank both of you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Bill.
Maggie Kerner and Nick Brumley, recorded live in the Marion and Donald Weiss Performance Studios here at Red River Radio. Maggie Kerner is holding a CD release party this Sunday at 7 p.m. at Fairfield Studios here in Shreveport. And you can find out more about this and future house concerts by going to their website, shreveporthouseconcerts.org. Or you can give them a call at 318-220-0400. Coming up in a moment on The Caravan, Be Quiet and Play the Music, tonight featuring songs from Richard Schindel, Vangelis, M. Ward, Joan Baez, Joe Walsh, and more. We hope you'll stay with us. This is The Caravan from Red River Radio, and we are a community-supported public broadcasting service of LSUS. This is KDAQ, Shreveport-Bossier City, KLSA Alexandria Pineville, KBSA El Dorado Magnolia, and KLDN Lufkin Nacogdoches.
On the next Arts of Space, the soft tones and gentle harmonies of the chordophone family, harp, zither, and koto. Music is by Peter Sterling, Lisa Lynn, Harold Budd, Simber Lily Quinn, and more. I'm Stephen Hill, a program called Chordophonics on the next Arts of Space.
Sunday night at 10 o'clock on Red River Radio.